Welcome to Keep You 100 Radio. I'm your host, Lissy Pointer, type 1 diabetic, certified health coach, personal trainer, and founder of Needles and Spoons Health and Wellness. Inside this podcast, you'll find the real and raw conversations around diabetes management, including the lessons that we don't learn in our endo's office, my best tips and trainings, and conversations from the experts that I trust inside the community so that you can create more predictability in your diabetes management and feel empowered while doing so. Let's dive in. Keep 100 Radio is brought to you in collaboration with SkinGrip, the only patch company that I trust with my diabetes devices. I started using SkinGrip about 2 years ago, and before I found them, my Dexcom would last maybe 4 or 5 days before falling off, making it really hard to lift weights, hike with my dogs, or just wanting to do the everyday things that I love. But now I can confidently travel, work out, and navigate life with diabetes without having to worry about dealing with insurance more than I have to, begging for replacements, and resorting to finger pricks. Plus, I'm in love with their mission to help us live fearlessly with diabetes. You can check out SkinGrip at skingrip.com and save 10% on your order by using the code Lissy, L-I-S-S-I-E, at checkout. Hello, welcome back to Keep 100 Radio. Today, I'm joined by one of my favorite people and new Michiganer. Is that how you even would say it? Michiganer?
I want it to be Michigander, but it's... Yeah, it is Michigander.
Michigander.
I don't know. I live in Michigan now.
Val, my co-coach inside of Keep You 100 and one of my best friends, is now living in Michigan. You moved from California to Michigan, what, like a week or two ago?
Literally a week ago. Yeah.
How has the transition been?
It's good. I love it. So yeah, if you guys know anything about like Orange County, California, like sunny, right by the beach, like good restaurants, like it's just a vibe there. And now I'm like in farmland. So we're on like 60 acres. There's a bunch of cows outside. We have some calves. Yeah, it feels good. My dog loves it. We love it. We have a lot of space. So it is a transition, like obviously different weather, very small town Midwest feel, which we actually love. And everyone's been really sweet. So feeling good.
I'm so jealous. Like I actually loved where you lived in California, but I can definitely see where you would want to be a little bit more quiet and like have more space. Like I can see that. So I'm really happy that you guys have found an area that you like and you're right by your sister, which is really exciting. And Bubba has all the space to run, which is probably really new for him.
Oh yeah. I feel like we have to do like daily like cow visits now because he's like obsessed with the cows. So in the morning he'll sit out the window and just like stare at them. I'm like, okay, we'll go say hi. And it's like the coolest thing. It's just, again, like an experience that I'm like, whoa, we would have never done something like this because we road tripped all the way here. So it was like, I think like 6 states or maybe even 8 that we went to get here. So yeah, definitely a journey. Yeah. I still love, you know, where I'm from and all. I mean, we have a lot of family there, but it does help to be close to my sister. And yeah, now I'm close to you too. So
I know.
We're the closest we've ever been, which is cool.
It's been so weird because I'm in Jersey. So like every time that we would work together, we always have that 3 hour difference, like time difference. And now I'm like able to text you and not have to worry about it being too early or anything there. And like same for you, like you can text me and it's not like midnight for me. It's the wildest thing. I'm so excited to visit.
I know. It's all good things. Yeah. So anyone over here by Michigan, say hello. Maybe we could do a meetup for like a visit. But yeah, I know. Yeah, the time thing. Sometimes Lissy would text me and I'd be like, dude, is it 4 a.m. your time or my time? I'm like, what's happening? Good times.
And so are you in Central time now or Eastern?
No, I'm in your time. It was just 1-1-1. Was it just 1-1-1?
Yeah. Wait, yeah. I thought you were an hour behind. This is so cool.
No, we're literally same time.
It's oh so my cool. God. No more converting time zones. This is really exciting.
Yeah, it's good.
All right. So today I wanted to bring Val on the podcast because she's our women's wellness coach inside of Keep 100. But more than that, she's just one of the realest people that I know. So I wanted to bring her in for this conversation because it's so real, right? Like talking about relationships and sex with type 1 diabetes and even like outside of diabetes. I think about this all the time now, actually, of like, so actually Val and I both got married this year, but even before that, we had been dating our significant others for the past few years, like 4 or 5 years. And I, right now, I'm like looking at the dating scene and some of my friends who are just kind of like casually dating. I'm like, I can't imagine doing that. Like, it's been so long since I've actually gone on a date and like had to talk about my diabetes in a way that was kind of like hidden or
bringing it up in casual conversation and seeing how that goes. So we want this conversation to be all about kind of relationships, taking your questions, your comments, your concerns, your stories, and sharing them on this episode and just kind of fully bringing it to light.
Yes.
Yeah. So Val, do you want to share a little bit about like your journey with Michael and just, I mean, like, or even just in general, like what has your approach been to dating with diabetes?
Yeah. So I was diagnosed with diabetes at 23. So this is like right after college. Yeah, it was interesting. I think, so I got diagnosed while I was dating, not my current husband now, but I was dating someone else when I got diagnosed. And even like looking back to that, it was uncomfortable. Like I forget, but it was uncomfortable to be like, I'm kind of like sick now and I still don't really know what I'm doing and I don't know how to talk about it and I don't know what I'm comfortable with yet. So that relationship ended right after that, actually. But then moving forward to like what dating looked like, I think for me, it took a while, to be honest, to get comfortable, like just having the conversation. Because again, all of my life, anyone who had ever known me knew me as someone that didn't live with diabetes. So then that was like a big hump in the conversation of like, I'm kind of like reintroducing myself to the world, right? To everyone and to myself and to my family and to these people I'm dating. Like, for as much as they don't know about the diabetes, I kind of don't know that much either. Like, I'm still in that beginner, like learning who I am, what it is. So, but I will say, you know, the first year I was diagnosed, I didn't really date. I don't think that was like top priority for me. I was just kind of like, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And then I traveled a lot on my own. So once I did some traveling on my own and I came back, I was like, okay, I feel comfortable in my diagnosis. I have more confidence. Like I, you know, I'm open to dating now. And at that point in my journey, I was kind of like, F it. I was like, I'm going to talk about it. Like if they ask, like I'll answer as many questions as I can. But with Michael, especially at that point, I had had diabetes and I had just done Keeping It 100 actually when I met Michael. Yeah. I think you're I was really still good. In it. Yeah, you're I was still in it.
Yeah, I remember yeah, literally so I think, saying I went on a date with this guy.
Yeah. So I think I had only had diabetes at that point, maybe 3 years. So it wasn't that long when I met my current husband, Michael. And I just remember like the first time we did like, we worked together, LOL, but we worked together at this organization at different locations and we actually went to an event together. And so he picked me up and I drove in his car and I had never told him that I had diabetes, but right when I got in his car, I started having a low blood sugar and I just like went in my purse, like grabbed these blueberries and just started eating them. And I just looked at him. I was like, hey, I have diabetes. And sometimes when my blood sugar goes low, like I need to eat stuff. And he just kind of looked at me and was like, oh, okay. All right. Sounds good. Like there was just like no big reaction. Like he didn't feel uncomfortable about it. He was like, oh, like, yeah, if you want to tell me about it or like, you know, we can talk about it. It was just like such a comfortable and comforting response to know that it like wasn't a big deal to him. Because at that point in my journey, it also wasn't a big deal to me in the sense that like I felt comfortable. My devices were showing at that point. I had done a program. I found community. I had like friends now. So I slowly was building up confidence. But yeah, that was kind of like in the beginning. So I would say like dating was fine. And I think my personality was always just like say it and own it. Mm-hmm. But I know for everyone, that's not always the case, right? We have a lot of like, you know, just like our own cultures and connection to diabetes and what it means for us and like dating. And it's the same thing with dating, right? Like some people are open about talking about sex and then some people aren't. So it's like, they, you know, we're all different, but that was kind of my journey. And, you know, I've been with Michael now, I think this November is like 5 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And January would be like a year married, but now I'd say it's really cool to have a partner who's like all in. Michael has always been like into adjusting my settings on my pump, like looking at the data. He's always checking if I have snacks. If he hears the, like my pump vibrate in the bed, like even this morning it was vibrating and I was not even moving or flinching. I was just like, but he like got up and looked at it. He's like, hey, your blood sugar's at 78. Like, do you need juice? Like just having that in a partner, it feels really good because it does kind of take away some of the heaviness in those moments where we feel exhausted or overwhelmed. So yeah.
Yeah, I love your relationship with Michael. And like, he's just like, I've met him in person a few times and he's just so like, he's truly like your partner. Like, you know, like you can just tell when there's that partnership and like when it comes to diabetes, even when they don't live with it, it's so reassuring to have that. It's funny that you mentioned kind of like reintroducing yourself when you are diagnosed with diabetes. So this is something that we have, another thing that we have in common is that we were both diagnosed as young adults. I was 19, you were 23. I wasn't in a relationship when I was diagnosed, but I had that like on again and off again thing with this guy from high school for a few years. And when I was diagnosed, we were off again, of course. But the next year we had kind of started seeing each other again. And I was very similar to you in that, like, I just kind of owned diabetes. I didn't really shy away from it. Not that I had it in my Tinder bio. I said, what was it? Oh, down sugar, I'm diabetic. Some people weren't sure if I was serious, but I was like, yeah, no, I'm diabetic. And I just kind of,
that's cool.
I didn't care. And I remember one time he visited me at college and we had all been going to like a party or something. And obviously when I'm going out, it takes a lot more planning, right? Like, so I had brought all my backup supplies. It just took me a little bit longer. I didn't really want to be out late. I didn't want to drink too much. Cause again, similar to you, I was still figuring out my body, just how I was approaching things. And I remember he said something. He had said, he didn't say you're not as fun with diabetes, but he's like, you're not as spontaneous now. And I think that was like kind of the moment for me where I was like, this just isn't going to work. Not that he disapproved of my diabetes. He was supportive too, but also like, I didn't want to have to reintroduce myself. I didn't want to have to explain myself for being different than I was or than I left high school as. Like, I didn't want to have to deal with that. And there's a very limited amount of people in my life from before college or before diagnosis. And they're just people that have just accepted the diagnosis. They're people who have accepted me for the changes that have come along with it. And to me, that's what mattered. Yeah. So yeah, like, I mean, of course I dated in college and everything, and anybody I did date were people who were accepting. They, you know, were did their best to be. And after I graduated about a year later, I moved home, met Jordan. It was, yeah, right around the same time, maybe a little bit earlier than you had met Michael, I think. Maybe right around the same time. And it's very similar to you. Like, he didn't have a huge reaction. It didn't have to feel like something that was, oh, wait, this is a shock, or I wasn't expecting this, or like, this changes the game now. We were at breakfast and I had just kind of said, like, we were literally on our first date. I had my pod. I'm like taking insulin, like trying to be discreet, but I also didn't want him to think I was being distracted or being rude and like on my phone. So I remember I just kind of very vaguely quickly said like, hey, I'm diabetic. I just have to take my insulin real quick. It went right over this man's head. Like, he did not even think, he doesn't even remember me saying that. And which was great because I didn't have to worry about it. It didn't have to be a big deal. And then a few weeks later, I remember we were having a conversation and I was like, you know, at this point, you know, I live with type 1 diabetes. Like, I live with Crohn's. And I was like, these are big things. Like, these are experiences that impact me every day. Even though I'm in remission with my Crohn's, that can still impact me one day. And he just kind of looked at me and he's like, that doesn't scare me. Like, it was just very, like, again, not a big deal, just very comforting. And of course, there have been a lot of hurdles and conversations that have come with the relationship of it kind of being this third wheel in the relationship. But yeah, maybe he's not as hands-on as Michael. He won't like look at my pump, but in the middle of the night, if I don't wake up to my alarms, he's like, hey, get up. Like, do you need something? He's been very supportive. So I'm really glad that we've both found that. And it's just been, I don't know, a good experience.
Yeah. Oh yeah, totally. I know. I feel like we have so many similarities, which is so cool. And I think, you know, I was just, even as you were sharing all that, I was like reflecting on like, you know, now in our journeys, right? We've had diabetes for a couple of years now, and we work in the diabetes space and all the capacities that we work, and we're like really involved. We're also coaches. You know, diabetes is such a part of our lives, and just to have partners who accept that, you know. And then I was thinking on the other side of that too, right? Like, there's like this other part of it that I think about too, is like, because we're always working in the space and we like have a lot of confidence in our management, I think it's also easy for partners to be like, oh, they got it, right? Like, they're constantly thinking like, oh, they got it. But the reality is, as much as like we do got it, like, there are those times that are heavy and harder, and those days where maybe we're like acting different or feeling different, like, there is that third wheel there. Like, I'm just thinking about today, like, my blood sugar has like not budged all day. It's kind of just chilling out of range, and it's not bothering me. Like, I'm still showing up being as present as I can, but it's still like in the back of my mind. Right. And that does impact like my partner's here, like just the way that we interact, the things that we're doing. So Yeah, it's always good to kind of reflect on like, what is your relationship like in the beginning, but also it evolves. Like you said, it evolves, right? You start having different conversations around where does diabetes fit in, right? If you're thinking about having a family or starting a family, like it comes back into the conversation. If, you know, you get sick or like something happens, it's always going to be in conversation. So to have a partner that's like with you, stands strong in that and knows that that's part of the package all of the time, it's so reassuring. I feel like that's what like keeps me moving forward. Like, hey, like it's going to be okay.
Right. And even though it's hard, like those conversations are never easy. I think it was within the first 6 months of our relationship. I'm very like, get to the point, right? Like I don't date to fuck around. Like I'm just very like, same. I'm going to be very open and honest about my expectations or the things that I want. And like, if that doesn't work for you, then it's fine. Like we're just not going to waste our time here. So within like 6 months of dating, me and Jordan kind of had that conversation. I was like, hey, look, like I live with these two things, diabetes and Crohn's, and I don't know what that looks like for me for starting a family. And I know I want kids, but I just don't know what that looks like. And of course, that was really hard. And if you would have asked me in that moment, I fully expected him to walk away or take time for himself. But he stayed. He stayed with me, had the conversation. I remember it was literally Easter too, or like the day before Easter. And we were still able to enjoy time with his family, my family, and like talk, like have that conversation very openly. And yeah, it just really, I think that's the part that's reassuring, of like to know that it's not going to not be hard, but also to know that if you have the right partner, it's something that you can be open and transparent about.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like you meet in the middle, right? Like,
yeah.
You can only do so much, right? Like you have to also meet your body and honor where your body's at, but to have someone else honor where your body's at, key. It just feels good.
Especially in those moments, like, yeah, when you look in the future, but then there's also the real time moments, right? Like when you have plans or when you want to do things like be intimate, like that's so crucial. And that's kind of like one part that we had a few questions about, or that, you know, in this new segment, we're kind of looking at questions that people were asking online about these different topics. And I found a few good ones that I really wanted to dive into. Are you good with that?
Yeah, let's dive in. I'm so excited to hear these.
I think this is the first time that you're seeing them too.
So. Yeah. I haven't seen them. So they're all surprises.
So this one came from Reddit, and the original poster says, I don't know if it's taboo, but if I don't bring it up here, where can I? I have never had the chance to talk to other diabetics about how diabetes affects their sex life, and if it does at all. It certainly affects mine. When I was a kid in the hospital, doctors and nurses all wanted to reassure me that my life would be totally normal. But that isn't really true, and sex is the one area I feel like it's been negatively impacted. When my blood sugar is high, my sex drive is non-existent, and when it's low, I cannot have sex until it's regulated. A few times I've also experienced a low during the act and had to stop. I'm wondering if anybody else has had experiences in any form of sexual dysfunction or lack of sex drive due to diabetes. How do you deal with it with your significant others and partners?
Yeah, this is like so real. I'm like, this is such a good question. And I think such a good question to just like ask the community, because it's such a real thing. Because I was listening to that and I was like, yeah. Like I feel like, you know, we talked about earlier, like it kind of does feel like it takes away that spontaneous layer, right? Because the reality is our blood sugars, we're seeing them in real time. It's like so present, but actually we're feeling it, you know, in real time. And I mean, I've experienced those same things. Like when my blood sugar is high, like, yeah, my sex drive isn't, because I'm so focused on the number and I want to bring it down and I'm thirsty and I'm just like irritated. And then when it's low, like, again, you can't focus and be present with the person that you're being intimate with because you're so focused on like, is something going to happen? Is it going to go lower? Like, did I eat enough of a snack? Do I need another snack? Like, what do I need? Are they okay? Like, are they thinking that I'm like not into this, but I'm actually just stressed about my blood sugar? So yeah, I think this is very real. And in these moments, I think when you are in a relationship with someone, it's a lot easier, right? Because you have kind of that conversation with them where it's like, hey, this might happen. We can kind of make your internal game plan, right? Like, hey, are we gonna like take a break and then come back, or are we just totally out of the mood and we'll like try again another time? Like, you really have to have that with your partner. But I'm thinking of like a one-night stand, right? Like you're in a one-night stand situation, or like you just met someone and it's like the first time you're getting intimate, you know, how do you navigate that? And I think this has to, I guess it's like individual, right? Like what you feel comfortable with. I definitely think if I was in a situation where it's someone like new, a new partner, like I don't know that person as much or as well, I would definitely like upfront want to say something, even if we've never talked about that I have diabetes, just like something upfront, like, hey, you might hear an alarm, you might hear an alert. I have a juice box here, like I'll drink it and move forward. Or if we hear this alert, like it's kind of off, like off limits, like we're done. So I think in these moments, like it really has to come from like your comfort level of like what you want to do. Yes, it like sucks. Like no one wants to like hit pause when you're like feeling good. So I guess that's kind of my thoughts around it. Lissy, have you, or like, how do you navigate that type of situation?
Yeah. You guys might hear my dogs are starting to go crazy, but it's fine. Yeah, no, I'm really glad that you brought up the, because it's not just physical, right? And I think that that's kind of a misconception that people think of like, oh, if your blood sugar is in range, you should be fine. And, but in reality, there's this huge mental component of, right, like constantly thinking of, is my blood sugar trending down? What is my insulin on board? Because sets is activity. I'm always thinking about that. And so it's more than just the physical of like, is my blood sugar okay right now? It's that mental stress and planning and strategizing for something that should feel natural and fun and spontaneous. And I think that's definitely something that can, it's definitely gotten in the way before, right? Like I literally have my own strategy for sex. It's like, it sounds so crazy to have to do that. But for me, it brings peace of mind of like, I'm a planner. If I know that this is something that we want to do, like, I'm going to shower. Whenever I shower, my blood sugar goes low. So I'm going to pause my insulin for a little bit. I'm going to have a snack after the shower. I'm going to brush my teeth and then I'm going to, you know, then we should be good. But like, to me, that doesn't, yes, it can take away the spontaneity, but it also brings reassurance to me that like, okay, I should be in a good spot right now because I took all the precautions. And yeah, I just remember in college, I didn't have a CGM. So I have no idea how like I would go to a bar. Not that I had like one night stands, but like if I met up with a guy that I was dating and didn't bring juice with me or didn't have a CGM, I don't know how the heck I survived. Literally thinking about that right now.
I think that kind of all the time. I didn't even know what CGMs were for like 3 years. I was like, wait, these exist? Like, I think that it was like, what is it? Like ignorance is bliss, or like, yeah. I don't know. I feel like I was in a bliss point in my life back then where like, it's almost like I know too much. Like I looked inside, like I know so much now that I didn't before. So I think back then I was still in that mindset of like oversimplifying diabetes, right? Like mm-hmm. I was like, oh, it's either high or it's low and I eat something or I don't. Like I just kind of left it at that and just like dealt with it. But I think now I know, like you said, more of the variables that are at play. So like when you go into an activity like sex, there are those variables at play, right? Like you said, insulin on board, like how active are we being? Like how long do we usually have sex? Did I eat a snack before? Like, what did I do today? Did I already work out today? Like there's just so many variables at play. But I like what you said, like you have your own personal strategy. And I think for anyone like listening, just knowing like what is your game plan for different scenarios? Like what's the game plan that makes you feel safe and comfortable when it's like you're being intimate with anyone, whether it's a partner you've had for a long time or someone that you just met. I think, you know, finding like what words feel comfortable for you, like, you know, at the end of the day, like you can't control other people's reactions. And that's just the reality, right? You can only control yours and like control what feels safe and comfortable for you. And if that person is reacting in a way that doesn't make you feel safe, then it's like, do you really want to have sex with that person? Or
right,
like,
they don't deserve someone, you.
Yeah, like, I'm like, you can just be like, get out. I mean, you know, I think, yeah, totally. So I think, yeah, it just comes with like, I love like, just like having your own game plan for those moments. I think my husband and I would say we're like, more spontaneous. I don't know if it's like random, but I will say that like the things that I do look at more so is like, where am I in my cycle? And then I kind of base it off that, like, okay, you know, I'm in this phase where I know I'm not going to be ovulating and like it's safe for us to have sex, and then kind of leaving it at that. And then I guess if we're feeling it, we're feeling it. But I do always make sure to like, yeah, check my blood sugar. Depending on where my blood sugar is, I like disconnect from my pump or I leave it on. So there's definitely like, I guess there are some strategies. We never really talk about them now. I'm thinking about it with my husband. I think it's just like on auto mode. Like we just do it because we've been together for such a long time. But yeah, having those snacks like by the side of the bed. I mean, they're already there usually because of like nighttime lows. So yeah, just having like that game plan. But I do really love this question because I think it is a real thing. But also, like you said, Lissy, like it's so much more than like the physical, right? Like so many things affect our libido and our sex drive, like past traumas, like stress from work. If you're dehydrated, like so many things are truly affecting your libido and sex drive. So if you are, you know, looking at that area and thinking, you know, what's affecting my sex drive, or just like contemplating, is it coming from diabetes? It might be coming from your blood sugars, but it also might be coming from a lot of other areas in your life as well, right? If you don't feel safe in the environment, if you don't feel safe with the person, like so many things can be coming up. So yeah, just taking that time to reflect and make the game plan and see where to go from there.
Yeah. I think either way, it's normal whether you live with diabetes or not, but diabetes is another layer. So it's okay to talk about it and normalize it. And I'm really glad that people are using forums like Reddit or podcasts or whatever it is to talk about it. I think it's absolutely needed. All right. I had one more question in here that I think was worth noting. So the original poster says, I have never tried a pump or a CGM. Though I completely understand the benefits of these options, there are a few things holding me back. I won't get into all of them here because I just want to focus on one. I worry that I would feel very self-conscious about a medical wearable. My boyfriend insists that he would not be bothered by it because he wants me to do what's best for my health. But like, I don't know. I like being naked, like actually fully naked with him. I know it's kind of weird to say, but I like my body. I like feeling sexy sometimes. I don't know if I could do that with a pump site or a CGM sensor. It's not something I hear people talk about a lot, but I often wonder, what's the deal with sex? Don't devices get in the way sometimes? I know this is pretty personal stuff, but it's also really important. I would love to hear any thoughts or experiences with a pump and or CGM wearers have to share on this topic. I think this is a great one, just considering you and I both have different devices and we've both been on MDI and injections. So yeah, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, Val.
Yeah. I have to just say this before because I was like laughing. So this actually has nothing to do with like a device on my body. But one time I was checking my blood sugar like during sex on just like a meter. And then after we were done, I like look up and there was like a test strip on my husband's back. And I was like, damn, this is too good. So that stuff could still happen if you're not on a device. But yeah, it was pretty funny. Yeah. So I use the Dexcom CGM and then I also use the Tandem pump. So I got a lot of stuff all over my body. I think it comes back to like that comfort level, right? Like being confident, quote unquote, in what you wear, not confident in what you wear, right? So I've been wearing these devices for, I want to say like 5 years now. So for me, it's kind of become just like part of my body that I love. So I love my body, but I also like appreciate that these devices like support my body. So I feel okay with them. I don't feel like they've ever gotten in the way, and knock on wood, we've never had like a device rip off or anything like that when we're intimate. I'm like, I guess I feel sexy sometimes when I like put something on my butt cheek. Like sometimes I'll put like a site on my butt. Yeah. Getting like, or yeah. Yeah. So it could be sexy, but I think, you know, for me, it hasn't been that issue. I can see how it can make people uncomfortable, especially if it's like something new. And it's kind of like, you know, when I think this is also a very real thing, right? Like some people feel comfortable with like the lights on or the lights off or their bra on or their bra off, right? Like it's all has to do with like that confidence or like, you know, it's okay to feel insecure. It's like a very natural thing. So I kind of think of it like in that same light of, I'm sure in the beginning it's hard now because I've been using them for so long that I did feel a little bit insecure, but now after so many years, it's just not something that like comes up at top of mind when I'm getting intimate. But yeah, I think, you know, there's a lot of things you can do. Like if you're worried about them ripping off or you don't really want them to show, like there's covers now and that are like skin colored and things like that. If you really want to hide them, you can also put them in spots where they're a little bit more hidden, right? Like on like the lower part of your leg or, you know, your butt cheek or areas that, or even if you don't want them in those areas, like you can kind of move them around, which I think gives a little bit more freedom. But yeah, personally with this question, it's a little harder, yeah, for me to answer because I think I just see them as one. Like they're just one with the body now.
Yeah, no, I'll agree with that. And I mean, because again, we were both diagnosed in young adulthood. And for me, it was definitely something I thought about, not in terms of like intimacy, but more so of like, I didn't want something on my body because I went 19 years without it. So of course it feels unnatural and it feels a little bit different. And I started out with a pump. I started out with the Omnipod and I definitely like hit it a little bit. I would put it on my stomach or my butt so then I could cover it with like my clothes. And I think like, I don't know, I'm very much like a person that thinks what you put into something is what you'll get out. So like if you have shame around your devices or you think about your diabetes as something that you resent, then of course you're going to resent your devices. You're going to feel shameful of your devices on your body and it's not going to make you feel sexy. But like I like to do things that make me feel sexy with it. Like I love wearing my bathing suit and having my devices showing. Like I love taking pictures and having my devices showing. So it's something that I've just learned to feel confident in because it's something that I think has come with feeling empowered in my diabetes management. It's not something that I've always loved. And right now, even like I'm experiencing some burnout with the Omnipod and thinking about transitioning to a different pump and everything. And you might have those periods, but I definitely think if it's something where like you accept your diabetes management, you know, your partner accepts your management, there are ways that you'll feel more natural with them and you'll feel more confident with them regardless of what you're wearing or not wearing or what situation you're in. So yeah, no, it's such a hard topic because everybody has such a different relationship with their diabetes and with their body in general. But just like you said, we all have our insecurities and it's just how are we approaching this as another part of our body that we can learn to love?
Totally. Another thing I want to say too is the cool thing is with all these like options and devices that we have access to nowadays is, you know, even if you are on a pump or you are using a CGM, like you can take those like pump breaks, CGM breaks, right? Like those vacations and like not wear them. And I think that gives a little bit more flexibility too with like what makes you feel comfortable, right? Like you can wear it for a month and then you're like, actually, I want a month off because I do like to feel fully naked and like have nothing on my body. And I think that's totally okay too. And I think a lot of times things can look very black and white, but it could also be like what you make it, right? You can make it in the gray area and be like, I live my life like in the summer with like no devices on because I like to be fully naked or I want to be in my bikini and have nothing. And then in the winter, like I'm all about my devices. So I think the cool thing is that there is freedom and flexibility in like whatever decision you make, as long as that decision's coming from you, right? Like we don't want other voices telling you like, oh, that looks weird. And then you're making decisions. I think if it's coming from you, it'll feel authentic in like whatever you decide.
Yeah. And I love that this user has such a supportive partner. Like I would say if you had a partner that was like, no, don't go on the pump. I like you natural or I like your body how it is. Like that's a red flag. But you have a partner who's saying like, you have to do what's best for your health and I will love you either way. That is the best of both worlds. Like now the only deciding factor is you and what you're comfortable with. So yeah, I absolutely agree. I wanted to dive into, so we asked our community to share your worst, funniest stories, whether you're dating, in a relationship, or intimacy around type 1 diabetes. And we got some really good ones, and I'm really excited to share them. I'm going to keep them anonymous for obvious reasons. But the first one that we got, oh man, this one just hurts my heart because I totally know how this feels. When we broke up 2 years ago, my ex told me my health was a burden to him. I still can't get over it. That makes me think of the ex that told me that, like, I'm not spontaneous with, you're not spontaneous now.
That gave me chills. That makes me really mad.
If somebody's telling you that, that's not somebody that you want to be with anyway.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, because you think of like anything in your life, right? If someone's not like your cheerleader, like, do you really want them in your circle or in your life? It's like, no.
Right. Because anything can happen, even like, let's just say it worked. You didn't have diabetes. It worked out. You got married. And then health is always something that's ever changing. What are they going to, once they're married to you, are they going to change their mind about you when something happens or if something happens? That's.
Yeah. It doesn't make anyone feel good.
No. All right, this one's referring to when they were dating somebody and had to tell them about their diabetes. I had to put off telling him. Then he ordered a soda to share. I confessed and cried.
Oh, that made me so sad.
I would love to know like what their reaction was, though. Like, did you cry because the reaction was bad, or did you cry because it was just like built up emotion around it.
Yeah. Or did you? Yeah. I feel like that's so hard. And again, it, right? Like, I think it, there's so many things, right? Because like, it's like the food thing and like our relationship with food, right? Like if a soda is stressful for you and then someone you're dating like has a soda. I mean, I could like relate to this, not in a dating sense, but I had like a very similar, I met this lady at some event and we kind of started networking and I had just recently been diagnosed. So I was like nowhere near feeling super comfortable, like talking about diabetes or like, honestly, if I had a device on, I probably didn't even know much about it. Like, I just felt like I was just in this like weird bliss point. But anyways, we were at breakfast, like we decided to meet up and we were at breakfast and right away she like ordered this like big scone for me and this like big sugary drink. And like, you know, I was still getting comfortable with like, you know, giving myself injections and like counting carbs, like all of that was still so new. And I remember in that moment, I think I wanted to cry because I was like, oh, like I hate that my life is different. I can't just eat this. But then I think on the other end of that, it was a big moment for me to be like, what, how are you going to respond, right, to this? Like, there's a lot of things, right? I could either just say thank you and not eat it, tell her I have diabetes and not eat it, or I can just eat it and try to figure out like what I'm going to dose. In that moment, I think I got a little overwhelmed, but I just wanted to be open and transparent. I said, hey, I just recently got diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. I'm still trying to figure out, you know, what that means and like how to count carbs and things like that. So I'm going to like enjoy a few bites and probably like save it for at home or like share it with my family. And she was like totally cool with that. But I will say in that moment, just like, you know, this person shared, like it did bring up a lot of emotions. So yeah, I think in that story that, you know, they shared, I'm sure there was a lot of emotions, right? Like having to like share something that maybe you don't want to share. And then, you know, feeling like, dang, I want to drink the soda, but like, do I have enough insulin? Like, you know, there's just so many feelings. So I can kind of relate to that one.
Yeah. And that's a good point too, because it's kind of, sometimes it feels like a lose-lose situation to your point of like, I either like allow her to order it for me and then I don't eat it, which it can feel uncomfortable because then you're like, oh, what, does she think I'm ungrateful or does she like think I'm insulted? Or, and, or you tell them, hey, I have diabetes and I'm not comfortable eating this yet, to which then there's that whole stigma around diabetes and carbs and sugar or whatever it is. And then you're, it almost can feel like you're perpetuating that, but you're not, you're just figuring it out for yourself. It can just feel like such a lose-lose situation. And I mean, I feel like one thing that was always reassuring to me with my husband was just that he would always try to ask like, hey, are you comfortable with this? And granted, he knew about it. So that always made me feel like I was in the position to make that decision myself.
Yeah. And I think we like create that example. Cause when I look back to when I was first diagnosed, I feel like I got a lot more comments of like, wait, can you eat that? Or like, are you allowed to eat that? But I think now the people in my close circle, they see me eat everything, right? Like everything that I want to eat and I eat it and I enjoy it. And I don't make comments about it myself. So now I notice that like no one around me is making comments about it. They're like, oh yeah, if she's making her plate, obviously she knows she could eat that and she knows what she's got to do to eat it and she knows how to dose. And I think it kind of goes back to like creating that environment and culture that you want in your management and in the relationships that you have, right? Because yeah, you know, in that moment with the soda and being upset, right? Like that person on the other end is like, oh shoot, is she upset at me because I ordered the soda? Or is she like embarrassed that she has to talk about this? Is she shameful, right? Like there's like a lot there. So I think as long as in those moments you could be like transparent of like where you're at and like your feelings and emotions, I think people are usually most receptive to that because they just kind of want to meet you where you're at.
Yeah. And just a PSA to anybody listening who may not be actually living with diabetes themselves, who has a loved one, never say, can you eat that? Maybe you reframe that to, is this something that you're comfortable with? Or does this work for you? Those are always just, to me, better ways to ask that question.
Yeah, I know. I mean, anytime anyone asks me that, I'm like, yes, I can eat this. That's why I'm eating it.
Or like, will I die? No. Will I maybe have a high blood sugar for an hour? Yeah, but that's okay. That's the risk I'm willing to
take.
All right. The next person mentioned, oh man, this freaking kills me. My boyfriend then thought it was contagious and was scared to kiss me. It's not herpes. It's diabetes.
What the F? I'm like, are you serious? I'm like, who's this person? Like, I'm about to call him. Like, okay, that is like, I have so many feelings. I just feel like that's just such an immature response. Like, I'm like, how old is this person?
Were they making a joke? Were they serious? Yeah. I have questions.
I'm like, was this a dude? I'm like, Jesus. No, I feel like that, again, like, obviously, hopefully, like, he was serious and it's coming from a place where he literally doesn't know, or else it's like he's kind of like making fun of you. Like, I'm like, what? It's just messed up. But again, you have to take those with like a grain of salt, I think. And you just have to either make it a teaching moment or be like, this is not the person for me. Like, how could he literally think diabetes is contagious? Or she, I don't know if it was he or she, but I think this is something where like we could laugh about it now because it's kind of like, really? Did someone really ask me that?
That's somebody who just needs a little bit education there. They're ballsy enough to ask. Maybe they're genuinely curious. Yeah, I don't know if that was one. Well, they said my boyfriend then, so I'm assuming it didn't work out. Maybe there's a reason for that.
Yeah. And for everyone, he does not have diabetes. He did not catch it.
Yeah, diabetes is not contagious for anybody who's younger.
It's not contagious, so please spread the word.
God. Oh, this one's... Well, actually, it has a happy ending. I literally started shaking during sex, and he thought that I literally started shaking during sex, and he thought he was doing a great job. But when I wasn't responding verbally, he realized something was off. And yeah, my blood sugar was like 48, and he had to run and get juice. Plot twist, I ended up marrying that man, though.
Oh my gosh. Wait, that's so cute. Oh my gosh. I love this one. This is such a good, I think it's such a cool story. Cause again, like in that moment, it's like silly and you know, it was light and silly, but the reality is like, hey, this person was like aware that you have diabetes. Like they knew next steps to take. And like, I think that's what's important, right? Cause again, any of us can be in that moment, right? Like anyone you're intimate with, like, anything that's happening or like symptoms that you're showing can be like misread by the other person, especially if they don't know you have diabetes. So again, I think moral of the story, like it's so important to let the person you're intimate with know at least something like, hey, if this happens, do this or like call this person or call 911. I think just having that up there up front, because look, anything can happen. But hey, we're so happy that you're married. That's a good person right there.
That's a man, like, you know.
That
like,
is.
Maybe it wasn't the shaking that he was expecting, but he rolled with it. He was like, we're gonna get you a juice and we're gonna stay together for it. We're not gonna let any shame or guilt or anything happen. So that's a happy ending. I love that.
Yeah, total happy ending. That's awesome.
All right, we have one last one. Not a great one. This one came from Instagram too. I dated a guy for over a year and he could never grasp the difference between a high and a low blood sugar. He would always ask if I needed insulin when I said I was low. I never fully trusted him because of it.
Ooh, yeah. I think this is hard, you know, especially I think anyone you're intimate with or like have that type of relationship with, you know, you want them to take that time and energy to really understand it because it is super important for the both of you, right? Like it's such an important part. And like we said, sometimes it may feel like the third wheel, but that third wheel needs like care and support also. So, you know, yeah, this one makes me sad because it almost can come off as like, you're not caring or you're not taking the time to really learn what I'm experiencing, even if you can't feel it yourself, like to just put yourself in my shoes a little bit and like take that second to learn. I think it, you know, my family, it took them a little bit also to understand this one. And I think some of them would make similar comments. And I remember it did feel like disheartening because I felt like they weren't caring enough or like taking the time to learn about it, even just the basics. So yeah, I can see how that probably upset you, was frustrating and just doesn't make you feel great.
I think that's so different though, because with your family, it's like you grew up with them, but at the point that you were diagnosed, you were more independent. Whereas when you're dating somebody, especially over a year, you're with that person probably daily, a few times a week. like they should know, or at least be caring. Yeah, I just feel like they should be educated enough to know the difference between a high and low blood sugar and how to care for you when something happens. Like, I wouldn't trust that person either.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah, because then it's like, how are you going to trust that they're going to, if you are in an emergency situation, like, how can you trust that they're going to respond correctly? Because it just doesn't make you feel good. And it just sucks, you know? It's like, hey, I think in those moments, like, especially with partners, to be like, where's like the disconnect? Like, do we need to have another conversation about it? Like, do I need to have a sign up on the wall? Like, how can we make this something that you can truly learn? Because they have to meet you there too, right? Like, you can only do so much and they have to meet you there too. So I'm sorry about that.
I guess it depends too of like, did he not know because you didn't talk about it enough? Like, was it something that you kind of handled on your own and didn't open up about it? Did he not know because he didn't care enough to learn? Like, what? But I feel like at that point, if you're in a relationship for a year, if he knows that you're living with this thing, it's like, yeah, like maybe care enough to do your own research if you're not talking about it. I remember, like, I mean, about a year and a half into our relationship, Jordan was in the fire academy and he had to take an EMT exam. And I didn't even really at that point need to teach him more than he already knew from dating. And he was teaching the rest of the guys in the classroom about diabetes during that section. He was like, okay, if they're type 1 or type 2, regardless, if they have a high blood sugar, this is what they need. If they have a low blood sugar, like, he knew it more than I could have taught him. Like, I just feel like, and that made me feel really reassured and cared for. I'm like, okay, not only can you treat me, but you can help other people too. And he did. One time he had a gig, he's also a drummer, at a bar, and there's a guy who was like really slurring his words and like not coherent, and everyone just thought he was drunk. And Jordan's like, no, I think his blood sugar is low. Lo and behold, he got him a glass of orange juice. They called the paramedics and he was okay after like 15 minutes. Like,
wow.
That to me is like so comforting.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you know, he's being like an ally and having that awareness for like all civilians, you know, like general public, you know? No. Yeah. I know. Same with Michael. Like, he had to take his EMT test. And I remember he was like, oh, I got, he was so excited to show me that like that section he like passed, you know, he was like, I did so good in the diabetes section. I was like, as you should, but also it's cool that like, you're excited to know about it. And also I was like thinking about like this scenario too. I'm like, it's kind of like if you're dating someone and like you literally don't know what their job is after you've been dating them for a year, it's like, dude, I work here every day, right? Because you have diabetes like 24/7. Mm-hmm. It's like, come on. I think it'd be frustrating for sure.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, this was such a good conversation. If anybody has any, if you have any crazy dating stories, let us know. Message us on Instagram at KI100official_. I'll link it in the show notes too. But I love these conversations. I just feel like they're such real life application and real life scenarios than just you would get from your endocrinologist office. So Val, thank you for sharing your insight. And I would love to have you on another episode. So I'm really pumped for our next one.
Yeah, that was super fun. Keep them coming. I think these stories are definitely like the real and raw conversations we need to be having, because you're right, they're not talked about enough, especially in our care spaces. So yeah, keep them coming. I'm excited to come back on and chat.
Yeah.
Cool.